Father God, we thank you for all the gifts that you give us, particularly at Christmas. We remember the gift that was Jesus, but we also thank you for the things that you bless us with, and particularly we ask, Lord, that you would take this money and that you would use it to equip your servants to take the good news of Jesus' birth, his death and his resurrection to others. Father God, we pray for those who work to look after the people in this world that are unwell, that don't have the things that we have. We thank you for doctors and nurses that have been able to treat Carol and others, Lord, and we thank you for answered prayer. And Father, we pray this morning for those that are unwell, that are finding it difficult to get out of the house, that feel alone, that as we are gathered here as part of your family, they would have a sense that we lift them up before you in our prayers, that we remember them in our hearts, and that they are known to you. Be with each one this Christmas time, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. So at this point, if you are a child, or still feel like a child, or as excited as a child at Christmas, I would like to go through to the halls at the back of the church to help get the Christingles ready for this afternoon, then please do so. And you're going to have to sing twice as loud now. Let's stand together and sing "See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw." Seat, and we're going to read from Luke and chapter 10. If you have a Bible or want to find one just tucked in front of the seats of you, then please do so. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. This is what it says. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, But few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.
I was just struck listening to that, how Jesus encouraged us to slow down a bit. I don't know, maybe that's what we need this morning, to slow down. And actually, this song allows us to do that. Light of the world, here I am to worship. So amongst the craziness, the madness, a chance to stop and to bow like Mary before him. Please stand or stay seated if you want. Here I am to worship.
Take a seat. Lord God, we have this morning indeed come to worship you. Forgive us, Lord, for the times where we direct our attention and our energies elsewhere, where we worship the things of this world where we worship the things that you created and fail to see you, the Creator God, behind them. Lord, we thank you for the reminder that is in that song that you sent your Son Jesus down to this earth to live amongst us as a human being, to face the struggles of life that we face, to experience the tough times and the good times. And the Lord, that he was obedient to the plan that you had, even though that plan took him to a cross, to separation from you. The Lord, that we might know the forgiveness of our sins through his death and resurrection. And so that this morning, as we come, we can present ourselves before your throne, to be known as your children, to have that relationship with you. Lord, I pray that this morning, each of us would be reminded of the gift that you have given. And whether it's a gift that we have left to the side, not wanting to accept it because of the consequences on our life that it might have, or whether we have reached out and grabbed it, wanting to know your love, we pray, Lord, that this morning you would be real to each one of us. That as we come and as we look at your word, as we reflect on things that were said hundreds of years ago, that they will have some real relevance to us here today in whatever the situation that we find ourselves. Lord, we pray, believing that you are a God who is at work, who speaks to us, his children, who wants to have us call him by name, that you want us to experience the blessing and the knowledge and of your love and the freedom that it brings. So help us, Lord, as we look at this passage to understand what it is that you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Christmas, or rather Christmas Eve. I'm guessing, with quite a lot of help from a calculator, that I've probably been in over 150 services in the course of my life where the focus has been on Christmas. And now here in 2017, I'm faced with that challenge of what do I say? As Ecclesiastes reminds us in chapter 1 and verse 9, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Or perhaps it is in that quest to find something new or just something different, that there's been this increased amount of people wanting to express and expose their views on the myths of the Christmas story that perhaps many of us learned first through junior church and also through our school plays. Debates range, don't they, from the number of wise men that traveled to the place of Jesus' birth, to whether he was born in a dusty stable or just a side room on somebody's house. And that's before we get into those deep and meaningful questions surrounding the carols that we so often sing. Do we really think that Jesus made no crying as he entered into this world? Well, a few weeks ago, the few of us who gathered on a Sunday evening for our Growing Potential service would have heard me make the threat of using one of the Spice Girls songs, Stop, as the theme for one of the Christmas services. Well, that wait is over. Today, it is Stop. The lyrics of that popular song have some lines which, perhaps in some ways, are worth a ponder this Christmas Eve. What can't you see? Slow it down. Read the sign. So you know just where you're going. And just like they sang back in 1997, you might be about to utter, stop right now, thank you very much. As we approach Christmas Day, and as I've been thinking about what it would be right to say this morning, there have been three words in my mind and just going through my head. Stop, look, listen. And for those that are significantly older than I am, it turns out that that was the line of a 1971 track by the Stylistics. How people wrote sermons before the internet, is a mystery to me. Have a look at this picture. If we can have that first slide, Paul. What colour is the bottom light? Audience participation is invited. Green? We think it's a green light? Paul, what's the second slide? The colour is, in fact, red. And that's because this is not a picture of a traffic light on the road, but of a railway signal. And you can do your own internet searching to find out why it's a red light at the bottom on the railways. The signal doesn't matter so much as the need to see the sign. In the madness of getting the presents bought, the cards sent, and that just one more thing that needs to be done. Have you missed something that God has wanted to say to you this morning? Today, I want to encourage you to just stop. Whatever it is that has been occupying your mind, whatever it is that you've left unfinished at home, or the tasks that will be waiting for you as you go back through the door, in this moment, at this time, let's just stop. We read earlier of Jesus' visit to the home of Mary and Martha. We don't know what Mary was doing, but it seems safe to assume that she was doing something, and she chose to stop and to listen to Jesus. The passage, however, says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Perhaps that's a familiar account for many of us in our own homes as well. So here again, Jesus' response to Martha, to Martha. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Or whilst it's possible that Jesus was saying, it's fine, a simple supper, fish fingers and chips, if he'd been in our house, is going to be more than sufficient, Luke includes this account of this event for another reason. The point isn't to contrast the value of contemplation over action, but to remind us that our service to Jesus shouldn't become so consuming that we have no time to stop, to listen, and to learn from him. Well, having stopped, we then start to look, and we look with anticipation. This isn't just an idle gaze or a daydreamer's stare. Nay, we look towards God and anticipate something happening. Is there a desire to hear what God has to say to you? Or is this just going through the motions? Christmas is all about anticipation, isn't it? Will the in-laws behave themselves? Tomorrow will tell. Will the presents be good as the shape suggests? Will it or won't it snow? The list goes on. Our anticipation causes a response. We get excited, admittedly, some more than others. We want things to work out for the best. We want to make discoveries. And just as all those things are true for the things of this world, and perhaps particularly at Christmas, so they should be true as we come into God's presence, as we study his word, the Bible, together, and as we share our faith journeys with one another. Many anticipated the birth of Jesus, but only a few realized that it had actually happened. Don't miss out on hearing what God has to say because you were too busy to stop and didn't look with anticipation at what he may do. The final word of those three is to listen. Listening is different to hearing. Listening is a skill. Hearing is an ability. It's something we can do. Listening, however, requires us to concentrate. It involves more of the senses, and we do it to receive information and to acquire knowledge. So just as looking with anticipation is different to just seeing what might be in front of us, so is listening different to hearing the noises that are around us. We need to be deliberate in our listening, and it should cause a response. Listening is done actively, not passively. The time needs to be there. This is the choice that Mary made. And the question this morning is that the choice that ye and that I will make? Will we stop? Will we look? And will we listen this Christmas time? How different might my life, your life, the life of NBC or perhaps your own church be if we encouraged each other to just sometimes stop, that we may learn as well as serve? At Christmas, we remember and we celebrate. We remember and celebrate that Jesus was the greatest gift that was ever given. He's taken the number one spot on the present list. But perhaps number two and number three could be learning to look and stopping as we listen and doing that together to what God is saying and doing because of the gift that he first gave in Jesus. How will you stop, look, and listen to God this Christmas time? Amen. We're going to stand and we'll sing that final song this morning, Jesus, Hope of the Nations. pray in a moment just as we finish. But just like finding that one last thing that you forgot to lay out on the Christmas meal table, Nick and Paul have both reminded me that for those that can't sleep, or for those that don't have small children to get them up in the mornings and would like to come back this evening at 11:30 p.m., that's 11:30 p.m. there will be a communion service shared together here in the church, taking us just in to Christmas morning itself. So tomorrow morning when you're here and they say, who was up first? You'll be able to put your hands up. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed the hope of the nations. As we hope and we anticipate tomorrow, that's just a day. But the hope that we have because of the message of your word, the Bible, the hope that is found in Jesus, the hope of an eternity with you in heaven, that is a hope that goes on forever. That is a hope that enables us to face the tough times, but it's also the hope that puts a smile on the face, that allows us to go out and say, I have a reason for living, because my God, my Savior, is alive. He sent his Son to pay the price of my sins, that I may know him and he may know me as his child again. Father, I pray that as we celebrate Christmas, as we share it with friends and with family, that you would be there in the midst of all of that, that we would find those moments to stop and to look and to listen to what it is that you say to us. And Father, we also pray for those for who this time of year is tough and is difficult, for who that sense of hope has never been known, or for who it is feeling like a distant memory. Lord, for those that will remember the person that should have been sat at the table tomorrow, for those that will not have the opportunity to travel to see friends or family, for those who will have a sense of loneliness, may you be a comfort and a blessing to them. Lord, our news stories are covered with those who, through sad and tragic circumstances, have lost life in recent days. We're continually reminded of the wars and the famine that are taking place for those who will have nothing. Lord, we pray into those situations. Lord, over the next few hours, we pray for those that work amongst the Samaritans as they pick up those phone calls, that you would help them to have the words to say. And for those, Lord, who reach rock bottom, who pick up the phone and cry out for help, may they find an answer. Lord, we also pray for all of those shoeboxes that we as a church and many others sent to many different countries. May they be received with glee and excitement, but not just because they're a present when people have nothing, but because they are a symbol of the message of hope that we have in you. Father, we thank you for all that we have to enjoy. Teach us to see the world through your eyes, to show your love to those around us, that as these candles burning beside me say, you are the light of the world, and we can be your messengers as we take that good news to all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.